To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Thanks. I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
Indeed, The Daily Ticker, brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Slay your thirst with each sip of Northwest's favorite seasonal beer now at your local grocers. Pelican Brewing, they are born at the beach with 5 coastal locations.
Ho, ho, ho.
Now, do we have him on? Because he just texted me.
Looks like they're talking. I see Swag's mouth is moving. I believe phone call connections have been made.
The Swag will call once, and if he doesn't answer, no answer.
Don't got him. Now we got him. Looks like somebody's on hold. Okay. I think we're good to go. Thumbs up.
We had listeners say that the ballots were due Monday. That is incorrect. They were distributed Monday. They're due on the 8th.
You get to watch conference title games. A lot will be on the line for the Heisman vote this weekend.
It sounds like we got him. Shahan J. Raja, CBSSports.com, one of our favorites, national college football writer, joining us here on a Football Friday going into conference championship weekend. We got the playoff bracket that's going to get released on Sunday, so that'll be a lot of fun. Good morning, Shahan. Thank you for joining us. We always appreciate when we can get you on. I want to start with the Heisman race. I said before the break, I think it's going to come down to who wins Ohio State and Indiana between Mendoza and San. I don't know if you agree with that, but also this feels like the worst Heisman race I can remember. I don't even know what year you'd use, but there's always at least been some interest or juice in it, and it feels like this year has just kind of sucked.
Yeah, this has been a really weird year, right? Because I think that so many of the names that we thought about coming into the year have dramatically underperformed, right? Like you're thinking of, Arch Manning's kind of recovered, but obviously not Heisman level. Garrett Nussmeier ended up, kind of missing part of the season with an injury. Like, it just hasn't been a great year. Even if you want to talk about, you mentioned that we're obviously kind of having a Julian Sain conversation. Like, the best player on that offense is Jeremiah Smith, but they just don't throw him the ball all that much because they don't need to. And so, like, it does feel like, to a certain extent that we're kind of defaulting to certain guys. Look, I think that obviously Julian Sain's a tremendous player. I think there's a really good case that he's the best quarterback in America, but like, it just feels like people are like, well, they're the best team in the country and he has good stats, so like, let's go that direction. And to me, as a Heisman voter, I haven't finally and firmly made up my mind regardless. Obviously this weekend means a lot, but I just feel like you have to give me something a little more than like, hey, you won all these games that you were supposed to win and didn't have to throw any meaningful passes.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. I looking at this weekend, you've followed college football, reported on college football for a long time. Conference championship weekend used to mean something, and now there's a feeling where maybe it doesn't mean as much as it used to. Part of that for me is internally, like, I watched my team win a Big Ten title last year and then lose by 848 points in the Rose Bowl, and it felt like it didn't really matter anymore, and everybody made fun of my team for losing. Where are you at on this weekend and the excitement level for the games as maybe opposed to where you were 5 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I still love conference championship weekend. I still think that at its core, like, college football is about taking care of your local before worrying about everything else. And, you know, I think that it does matter to walk away with a conference championship. I mean, obviously, like you said, to go in last year and obviously have the performance that they did for Oregon was frustrating. But, like, you're going to look back in a couple years and still be like, you know, this was the number one team in the country. This team still won the Big Ten. We're treated as a certain level of program because we've gone out and done that. And I think that one thing that I feel has kind of diminished things is, like, I feel like the politicking right now for the playoff is just absolutely insane. Like I feel like that's one of the biggest dampers on the actual product that we have right now, that, you know, that people, you know, I mean, obviously, especially in the SEC, right, are going out there and being like, well, we're already, like, trying to set up, like, Alabama shouldn't be punished for this, or that Georgia should do this. Like, that's the thing that I think really puts a damper on things, is that it kind of takes away internally in the own conferences from actually valuing what's happening on the field. And I think the other part too is that, you know, and this isn't obviously necessarily something that's new, but I do think that one thing that also impacts conference championship weekend is that we have such bloated conferences that, like, I mean, I don't know, if you're Miami and you see Duke win the ACC title, you're like, well, we didn't even get to play you, right? We completely missed you. So I do think that in that same sense, like, it definitely does put a damper when it doesn't feel like you're kind of, again, I mentioned taking care of your local. Well, you know, there's not a lot of local there when yeah. You aren't playing each other. But I still think it matters. I really liked in the sort of previous system that it really rewarded conference champions. I wish that we could find a way to kind of value them without necessarily doing the full first-round bye thing that we did last year.
Sean J. Raja, our guest here, CBSSports.com, National College football writer. I'm with you. Do you like the idea? We toyed with, because, you know, you saw the report was Vanderbilt reached out to schedule another game to try to make an argument.
13th game. What the hell? Who wants to play this weekend?
And they reportedly reached out to Utah and Miami. It was like, hey, man, this could help both of us if we play. It didn't end up happening, of course. We like the idea that if you're going to have such bloated conferences, to your point, and you're not going to true, like, Ohio State didn't play Oregon. Who knows? Maybe Ohio State wins that game, but what if Oregon wins? Should they be in with Indiana? Like, if we're going to have bloated conferences, do you like the idea of having past a certain number, like a play-in situation where we try to divide the top 12 from conference champions and byes to the teams at the back end? Because right now, today, everybody's screaming at each other about Notre Dame and Miami. Freeman's confused why they've slipped. Miami's like, yo, we straight beat them with the same record. How are we not ahead of them? Is there some kind of solution that's there that we eventually get to as some of these teams try to schedule a 13th game?
So, I mean, look, this is just my opinion. I mean, I really do love conference championships. And I mean, one thing that I always talk about is, especially compared to some other national writers, right? Like, I didn't go to a blue blood school. You know, I went to Baylor. And, you know, so for us, it's like getting to play for a conference championship was such a cool thing. And I love that there's spotlight on it. Like, I don't necessarily want, you know, Texas to be playing whoever at the same time slot that a conference championship is being played for. I don't necessarily want, you know, all this sort of stuff. I want there to be some spotlight on this. I think that actually, you know, because we talk about sort of the downsides of conference championships and playing this weekend, it's also like, okay, well, guess what? The fact that you didn't make it to the conference championship weekend actually hurts your case for the Heisman and things like that, and for All America, and for, you know, like you just don't get that spotlight in the same way. So I think that, you know, I do personally love that at least Vanderbilt was kind of, you know, had the anytime, anyplace, anywhere mentality. Like, I do love that. But, you know, I wouldn't love to kind of jump in and be like, well, actually the sixth place Big Ten team also should get a chance to play on conference championship Saturday. Like, to me, I think that kind of takes away from the point of all of this.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Yeah, I think that's a great argument that I haven't even thought of, because I'm kind of in favor of the play-in stuff, but that's a solid argument against it that I didn't even think about. I'm curious to ask you about Oregon and where they're at. I mean, they wrap up the regular season in November with 3 wins. Everybody said that November stretch is going to be tough at Iowa, at Washington, at home against USC. They handle all the tests despite being banged up, and now they're in the opposite position they were in last year, where they're sitting around and maybe going to play a Group of Five team or Virginia in the first round of the college football playoff. Where do you view them in this landscape, and how much of a serious threat are they to go on a run in the playoff?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I feel like they're almost, like you said, kind of the opposite position of last year, where I feel like they've obviously proven themselves to be a high-quality team. Their one loss was to an Indiana team that I think we all think is fantastic. And again, like, they are just one of those teams who has taken care of business at such a high level that it's almost, I think, become taken for granted. I mean, this is an Oregon team, obviously, that is tremendous in every single aspect of the game. I think that their offensive line has come along. I think that the way that they attack teams in the passing game is really, really difficult to keep up with. I think the way that they play defense is very aggressive. I mean, hey, if you want to see how much the industry values what Oregon is doing, well, both their coordinators are leaving to become Power Conference head coaches after the season. So I think this is a really good team. I've loved the growth that I've seen from Dante Moore. I mean, I remember watching him at UCLA, and to see where he was then to where he is now, I think is really, really special. And again, you know, this is a team that I also feel like, and I feel like, you know, I've said this a lot about Ohio State this year, but has a ceiling that we maybe haven't even started to tap into as yet. So I definitely view them as a potential national contender, though, again, there's probably 6 or so teams that I have in that category.
Yeah. Sean J. Araja, our guest here, CBSSports.com. What is your final prediction? Is Miami get in, or is Notre Dame get in?
Man, it's crazy, right? Because let's start with this. I mean, I think BYU should be in over both of them, to be quite honest. I mean, as an 11-1 team, higher in strength of schedule than both those teams, like they're treated like they're a two-loss team, and I don't really get why that's the case. But put that aside, because I don't think that that's going to happen, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, look, I think that you can't seriously sit down and make the case to us that you think that Miami and Notre Dame are so far apart that head-to-head shouldn't matter. Like, that's a ridiculous statement to me. Like they're 2 spots from each other. I don't know how you can sit here and say that they're separate tiers, which also, by the way, I mean, I don't frankly know how you can say that Alabama should have jumped Notre Dame based off of beating 5-7 Auburn, but that's a whole other conversation. Like, this is maybe the most nonsensical committee that I can remember. Like, I feel like they tend to do a pretty good job year over year, but, like, again, they're just these giant blind spots I feel like they're having right now. And, I mean, when you hear Hunter Yurecek, the CFP chair, get up there, it's like he's trying to play it for drama. Like, and maybe that's what they're doing, right? But they're like, oh, well, you know, well, if they're next to each other, maybe it's different than if they're that's crazy to me. Again, that's just a ridiculous way to handle this situation. So if it were me, like, I think the order should be BYU ahead of both of them, then Miami, then Notre Dame. I think, though, that the committee just thinks that Notre Dame is really good.
I mean, the eyeball test. Come on, how do we look past the eyeball test right now?
The eyeball that they played.
That game actually happened.
I have a, I have a piece coming out on BYU specifically and kind of what their playoff case is later today. And a line that I had in it is, it's kind of crazy how every time that the committee needs to lean on the eyeball test, they always seem to see Golden Dome.
Golden Domes look good. Last one I got for you. A lot of people who are rooting for chaos this weekend because, hey, I don't have a team involved or whatever. Like, let's just root for all this to get really nutty. Does Duke winning the ACC title game and two group of six teams getting in lead to all of this getting blown up?
Yeah, it would lead to some real, real anger, some real, real chaos. Hey, the one thing that you have to think about, too, is, okay, well, if Duke wins and then you have to put in two group of six teams, does the committee try to, like, throw a bone to the ACC by being like, all right, Miami, you're in.
Now you're better than Notre Dame. Now the eyeball test is different.
Now the eyeball test has changed for absolutely no reason. So, no, I mean, I think that regardless, we are in a situation where we're probably moving to 16 next year. They pushed back the deadline to make changes for the 2026 cycle back to late January after the title game. So I think that when you look at the situation right now, I mean, again, when you kind of think about like the ACC's predicament and some of these teams that maybe feel like they have a case, like, you know, I think that they feel like 16 would solve some of this. It'll create a whole other host of problems, but I think that it'll solve some of these short-term ones. And I think the other thing, too, that the other reason that I think that we'll move to 16 as well is that I think that after last year, people aren't really into the idea of the byes as much as I thought that they would be. I mean, all four teams that had a bye last year ended up losing their first game. And I think that everybody, like, I mean, again, Oregon didn't get a home playoff game last year, and they were the number one team in the country. Like, that kind of sucks. I think that that's going to be something that ends up changing. So, you know, the thing that I don't want, I don't want the 24 team 4-4-2. Like, come on, be serious right now. Like, that is not, we don't need 24 teams playing in the playoffs. And if we do, we better have all 10 conference champions in there, which obviously we would not. So I think that ultimately we land on a 5+11 model with 16 teams, but I don't know. Every time you talk to somebody new and every time something new happens and every time Hunter Yurecek opens his mouth, something crazier happens.
There we go. Good stuff. Look for that piece. The Golden Domers getting in because, you know, they're Notre Dame. Shahan Jay Raja, our good friend at CBSSports.com, joining us here on Football Friday in a preview of the conference championship games and his thoughts on Oregon and others. Give him a follow on social media and look for that piece at CBSSports.com. Thanks so much, Shahan. We enjoyed having you and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.